I'll bet you the Players Association will be like, we don't want to hear anything about a coach reaching out to a player saying, hey, we'd like you to come back. Yeah,
you were told
this is not mandatory. We don't have, so in other words, Austin Matthews, you don't think the Leafs want him back in Toronto? I'd be shocked if they didn't. Why would you not want him here?
Yeah. Yeah,
but if he doesn't want to come back, he doesn't have to come back.
And don't even bother calling me to say, would you want to?
No, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Ray, what did you make of this Phase 2 proposal? I don't know if you read through every page like these two guys did. I can't believe they did. This 29-page proposal.
No.
But anything you take out of it?
22.
Oh, sorry.
When I saw it was over 20 pages, I'm like, oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, Cole's notes.
I don't know. I mean, like, a lot of this stuff is, you know, they've got to get through this initial back to the rink thing, and some of it will work smoothly and some of it won't work smoothly. People will always be uncomfortable with certain parts of it. Like, certain players will be uncomfortable with certain parts of it. I think it's going to be like everything we see from now until whenever whatever is normal, is that some of it's going to go well, some of it won't go well. I would be most interested as a player, okay, so let's assume things go well, that's great. What happens when things hit the ditch a bit? What are the protocols? What are we going to be able to do? What is our health protection going to be like? And that's all still part of it, is as they go back to the rink in these small groups, that you're kind of going to want to know a lot of details that maybe they don't have yet, that maybe they're kind of still kicking around. That, like, the, again, I mean, we've seen this 1,000 times, and like, the two teams that voted no, like, if you read what people are, fans are complaining about, they're like, hey, these guys make a lot of money, just get back to work, we're at our jobs, but they haven't mentioned anything about that. You guys already talked about it. Carolina doesn't like that they're playing the Rangers, and Tampa didn't think the play-in or the round-robin games were going to be enough to prepare them. They're talking about from the hockey standpoint, and all of this has two sides to it. There is the hockey part, which is the games, the format, do we have enough time to get in shape, what happens if we get hurt, how are we protected, and then there's the health part, like the pandemic part, and they're hand in glove, man. Like one can't go without the other. Yet I've seen it with the Bundesliga a little bit. We follow it, you know, in our house. And once those guys get back on the pitch and they start games, there's an immediate disconnect that they're people and they're just the players, and nobody cares about them as people, because they're the players and they want to cheer for their team. And the players have to look after themselves as a collective, because nobody else is going to. The owners, they can say they're partners in all this, but the owners are sitting in their offices in their suits, and they're not putting themselves in harm's way like the players are going to have to, both from a hockey standpoint and a health standpoint. And they have to look after themselves.
You know, it's funny. I kind of chuckled to myself in reading some of the things that they were laying out, the protocols, and it took me back to days in minor hockey where it's like, okay, we're encouraging you to shower at home.
Show up in your gear.
Yeah, all workout players shall be encouraged to shower at home whenever possible. Players must leave all workout clothing and equipment that is worn during their session at the facility for laundering. If showering at the club facility is considered necessary for hygiene purposes, players not be permitted to share towels. You have to wear footwear. And the stalls are going to be spread out. I laugh to myself because I know, and Hayes, you can weigh in, because we've all played with people who are absolute pigs. Can you think of three teammates off the top of my head where I was like, How is that guy going to adhere to all of these rules? Like, they're the biggest pig I've ever seen in my life. Like,
they won't. You know, they won't.
That's,
is the,
that's the point.
They
You're won't. Right. They're going to have to be monitored because they'll be walking around, no idea, going to go into the shower stall, walk over, and invade somebody else's space because they'll be oblivious. They'll just think that they're back at work. And I know all four of us can think of somebody off the top of their head, and they're like, that guy's an absolute pig. You know he's going to need monitoring.
Okay, I'm thinking of one teammate. I'm not going to say the team or the name. But I'm thinking of one guy. Noodles, as soon as you said they have to leave all their workout gear at the facility, each day this guy would come in and, you know, get his gear on, go practice, shower up, and when he'd leave, he would take a pair of gray workout shorts and socks. He never bought underwear or socks. And then the next day he'd come in and change again. He goes, I got clean underwear all the time. I'm like,
it's just disgusting. It's like guys are gross anyway.
He never bought a pair of underwear or socks.
Yeah. Just loaned from the club. It's in the contract. Yeah. It's in the fine print.
That's the one thing. Like, I'm joking, but I'm not joking because you know that there are guys that aren't that aware of their surroundings. They just show up. They do their thing. And especially at the National Hockey League level, trainers, they work so hard. There's so many of them. They're the ones that are cleaning up your gear and grabbing your underwear. And you guy showers and throws his towel on the floor and stuff like that. You're going to have to be mindful of this because of the environment you're in. And to me, it's going to be an adjustment for some of these guys.
A huge one. Massive.
Well, I think, though, guys, that a big part of this is that the testing, right? Like, they talked about they had to get tested 2 days before they start this phase two, whenever it does, in fact, start. And then they'll get tested twice a week minimum while they're going through it. So presumably they'll be able to filter out initially anyways anyone who tests negative or positive, I guess, and not let them in. But Ray, what do you think the reaction would be if you're, and we've seen some guys over in the EPL in England who say, I don't feel comfortable. I just don't feel safe even with all the protocols in place. What do you feel about a teammate who says, you know what, whether because I'm immunocompromised or got a sick family member or just my own personal health, I don't feel comfortable doing this. What happens there?
You know, MJ, this is the first time I think I've thought of it thought of things in this way. Like, a lot of times, remember, a guy would get banged up and you'd be like, there you are, you're all beat to hell and this guy's off with the sniffles. And you just want to tell them, just suck it up and get back to the man. We need you. Get back in and play. This is completely different. I on so many levels, I kind of think it's more likely people on the team would understand. Yet, could you imagine if that's one of your, you know, you're at a point and one of your studs is not going to play, and you're like, now what?
Yeah. Right? Or just not in the right headspace, Ray. Like, even playing, but you just know he's not right. Like, he's not himself.
Yeah.
And that's it's going to happen. It's going to be legit for sure. Like, there's going to be somebody that's, you know, that's anxious. They're not going to sleep well. They're not going to perform well. And yet maybe there's going to be players that just say, I can't do it. And they can't be forced to do it. But, man, that... I don't even know. Like, how would you even deal with that?
Yeah,
I'm not sure you can. I think
you just got to accept it.
No, but
right?
I mean, like,
I think
as the point a team, is, like, guys.
Yeah,
yeah, you can't say play through it, even though you all are playing through it in some capacity the same way that he doesn't want to. Now, if he has a particular health situation, you might be more understanding. But if he's in generally good health, I don't know. It would get sticky. There's no doubt.
It is. Because
Noodles, what about Max Domi?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, he's come out and, you know, and he's certainly been very forthcoming. He's a type 1 diabetic. And so, like, there's some other concerns for him. Like, you know, I don't know where Max's head is at, but what if Max says, I can't do this? Or other players in like condition say, I can't do this.
Yeah, I agree. It's not like... You know, we've all played with guys where, you know, maybe they're missing a game and you're kind of like, nah, you know, you you judge a little bit and be like, I was hoping that guy could battle through it. You know what I mean? Like, we joke. I mean, old jokes about Verbata had the sniffles one day and didn't go. Like, you know, we've all played with guys who you thought, that guy may have been able to battle through tonight, but he didn't. It happens. But this is a different animal because this is just a, you know, this is so unique. It would be tough to judge them. You know, I think in the comments recently, like I was disappointed in that pitcher. I'm drawing a blank in his name when he was sitting there on
Blake Snell.
Yeah, I was because a month earlier he's like, I don't care about no COVID. Like to me, he's just a dummy. But when I looked at Mitch Marner, no, sorry, I just disagreed with him because of the way he came off. He's like, I'm not getting paid. I'm not going back for like I thought. He
I think
came
he
off-
spoke for a lot of players, though. I think what's become clear. I hear you, Noodles, but more right. and more players on the record, off the record. Like I totally agree with that. Like right. baseball's got a real issue here. It feels like NHL and NBA are coming back. Baseball, we don't know because they can't figure out the money.
Yeah, but Brian, sorry, Jamie, don't lose your train of thought.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Don't forget, baseball's looking to complete a full season.
Yes,
right.
Very
hockey
and basketball are trying to jam in a couple of months.
Right, and I guess my point is I thought Mitch Marner came off a lot more genuine, if that makes sense. Like I think Mitch Marner was just, you know, we you saw him going, you know, I've got concerns and I look at things around. Like to me, it just maybe was more articulate.
It was more thoughtful. It was
That's
definitely
what I thought.
More thoughtful.
Thoughtful. Yeah.
I wonder about camaraderie in whether or not there's going to be. You know, the room is going to come together the way it generally would, especially on a playoff run. And what I mean by that is I'll use an analogy that we've used many times on the show, the standings and how it factors into different players or the schedule. Maybe the schedule is a better one. You guys have said this a million times. In a room, let's say there's 20 guys in a room. 10 of them could recite the next 20 games, when they start, where they're played, what the city is, what the road trip is. The other 10 don't know if they're practicing today. And what I mean by that is I think that might apply to COVID and COVID-19, where half the room's going to come in and be consumed with it and be worried about it or thinking about it, and the other half is going to be like, we're back, boys. Let's just party and play, and let's have a great time.
Right.
And I wonder about those two mentalities clashing in the room because I think that's probably just nature. You know, I think that would apply to 20 people at random around the world. Half of them would be anxious. The other half are like, it's, you know, overblown or whatever. I'm fine and we're all good here. And I wonder how that's going to factor in.
And don't forget, you're basically talking about a bunch of 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. So, you know, we all thought different about almost everything when we were in our 20s than as you get older. And, guys, tell me if I'm wrong. It's quite possible somebody's going to hear, oh, stop it. Just get your ass in here to practice.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. You know, like from one of the other guys. You know, like it's going to be stop it.
Enough
you know,
already. And, you're fine. Right. Yeah. We're healthy.
You're right. Like,
doesn't hurt young guys.
All four of us on this call, like Brian, to your point, all four of us on this call have different views or differing views on how we would probably approach even us four coming into the studio and doing a show.
Right.
Like,
you know, I would
you know
be
what,
probably.
Noodles? And here's the thing. Nobody's wrong.
That's right. It.
Like this is different than almost anything else. Nobody's wrong to view it in your own personal way. Like, man, you've got things you're thinking about, Noodles, and MJ's got his, and Hayes has got his. I got mine. And all of the questions that the guys are asking and pushing and have to continue to push for, they're all valid.
Yeah.
This time is just so different because nobody knows what the hell is going to be, what it's going to be like. Just think, you go to the rink and there's six or seven guys there. Yeah, and you're going to be like, well, I don't know. I guess this is what we're doing till they tell us we can have 12 guys.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Till we can have 12 guys. And just think back to when we were playing. We all wanted, I'll speak for you guys. You correct me, but we all wanted somebody to tell us what to do.
Right.
Show up at the rink at this time. This is what practice is going to be like. Then we're going to go here. Then you're going to go there. And then you go home, do whatever the hell you want. But come back tomorrow at this time, do this and do that. And for the most part, the guys want that to happen to them. They want to trust that they're being looked after, that their health is being looked after as best as they can, that the teams have their best interests at hand. Because at the end of the day, they want to play. They,
right.
I mean, for the most part, they want to play.
Well, that's a perfect segue into what we were talking about in the past hour, with players being mic'd up. And it's not about, you know, health or anything, but it's about image. And the match yesterday with Tiger and Phil and Peyton and Brady, it was unreal. Mm-hmm. And it was unique in a way that they were all mic'd up and they were having conversations with the broadcast booth and Barkley and Thomas, and they were talking to each other and we had access to it. And I think that's the next kind of step in sports broadcasting. But you know, the TV networks would do anything for it. I think the leagues would be all over it too, because they could sell it and they could make more money. It's the players that would have to accept it, and the players that would have to trust the editing process and trust that whatever they say on the ice will not, you know, be held against them off the ice. But where yeah, do you stand on that, Ray? Well, exactly.
Yeah, but good luck with that.
So is it possible
here's the thing. No. Not like what we saw yesterday. No chance. Because yesterday didn't matter. It wasn't like, do you think Tom Brady is going to be talking to Tony Romo during a game when he's got third and six and he's coming out of the huddle?
No.
Right? Like, so yesterday, though, he's over the ball and Barkley bets him 50 grand that he can't hit the green. Like, he's going to listen to that because it doesn't matter. As far as what happens when it really matters, man, the access, that's a... It's a great thing. I mean, it's a great thing for us to listen to. I thought it was hilarious to listen to Peyton Manning yesterday. But for the most part, I just don't see how it can happen. I broadcast a game, whatever year the lockout was, and all those guys, all those players at Getzlaff and those guys ended up in the American League. At the All-Star game, I broadcasted. I was working with Kevin Quinn, and we interviewed Jason Spezza. He was on the ice. He had a mic pack on. And then he took a penalty in an All-Star game. In the game, because it's an All-Star game, like, Spets was going up the ice. He's like, oh, I lost my man again. And then he did that giggle of his. And it was awesome. But it was the All-Star game. He's not doing that as the Leafs are in their first-round playoff series.
No, he's not. But if he's got the mic on him, then you can have access to it, you know, after the game. Or, you know, some sort of access to mic'd-up players. Like, it's like the HBO stuff. What made that so great was partially you got to see behind the scenes, but you also got access to, you know, a portal on the ice that we were not capable of having in the past. Like Todd Bertuzzi and David Clarkson chirping about hitting a water bottle off the top of the net, which is so stupid, but it's amazing content. And, like, that's what I'm talking about. I don't ever expect, you know, Austin Matthews to be talking to you, Ray, during a shift or on the bench or anything like that. But if he's mic'd and they're all mic'd and you could put together something for either during the intermissions, after the game, websites, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, pay-per-view, maybe you sell it as something that's completely different, and I think a lot of people would pay for it, that's different. You know, like that would offer up a lot.
I mean, if you're in a players union, guys, would you not want, hey, if I'm on that thing, I'd kind of like to know what's going on in the air.
Yeah.
You'd have to trust them. Yeah.
You need a PA person in the truck to say, okay, you know what? We're trusting whoever it is, whether it's a former player, Steve Webb, Matthews, whatever, you know, somebody that you would put trust into, not the league, not the broadcasters, because they would probably want to use stuff that you might otherwise not want to, Ray. And it'd be a tough sell. Guys would be leery, to say the least.
Well, they do it a little bit in the playoffs, and I don't know if you've seen that. You know, MJ, you guys have it on the network where they'll have it mic'd up, and it's like 2 minutes after the game, but it's so edited. I know when talking to PR guys, they're like, they literally have 10 minutes of content that they get down to 60 seconds because they're like, nope, cut that out. And it's still, you know, maybe at the end it has a guy who scored the game winner walking in and everyone jumping on him in the dress room. I love that content, but it's really edited. So to Brian's point, maybe they collect all of this stuff and release it on social media later or whatever. Like, to me, they have to try something for content and maybe think outside the box, but it's going to have to go through the filter where the guys are comfortable.
They have
doing
to trust
that.
It. They have to trust the relationship between them and the TV network and the Players Association and the league. They've been doing it with the CFL and TSN for a couple of years now. Like the mic'd up games where it's not live. You're not hearing a quarterback in the huddle saying, this is what we're doing. Of course not. But it's, hey, okay, the play played out. now you turn the ball over. We've moved on. Hey, this is what happened during this. Looking back on this highlight, here's what player X had to say about this or that, you know, yeah, leading up to the snap of the ball.
Right.
And before they get player X's audio on the air, you know, like, I know that that's not a very smooth process. Like, there's a lot of people with their thumbs in that.
Yeah.
To make sure that it's okay. The other thing is, I don't know that I want to, or that any of us need to hear a mic'd up segment where you hear some guy say, "Out of go, guys, way to go, let's go get them, let's go get one here."
Of course not.
You know, like, who the hell cares, right?
I know, but you're also worried about, like I say, a guy skates by and you call him a fathead, and that goes out there, and then, you know what I mean? People are like, "Oh, this guy's so insensitive to that guy's giant head, and, you know, he's body shaming him and blah." You don't need that extra. You know what I mean? You're not. You don't need that extra layer. Like,
I mean, there's no way somebody's going to yell, "Hey, did you put that helmet on with a hammer?" Like, there's
no chance. No chance.
But that's what we need. That's what we're looking for.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's more around the fringes, and maybe it's more whether it's the coaches. Maybe the coaches, once a game, you know, they can lighten up a little bit and put the mic on and do a quick interview with the booth or something, which I know they kind of do, but it's a little bit awkward. Ray, you've done that with NBC where it's like a quick 2-second thing, and you're never going to grill a guy or anything like that or chirp him.
We also, like, if they get scored on, like, right before you're supposed to go over there, you're like, "Oh, man, I really want to go over." And then you walk, and you can see the guys looking at you, whoever the coach is, and he's firing daggers at you. Like, what are you doing here now?
Yeah.
And that's only after you split the players that just screwed up, and you're like, "Oh, excuse me. I got to go to the coach here."
Yeah.
MJ, how about when you're walking there and the guy, the coach is just giving it to somebody, and you get there and they're like, "Yeah, okay, ready to go."
Yeah. Like, "Hey, good to see you."
And then you do your question. I've had a couple where the guys are jamming my feet with their sticks while I'm doing the interview. They just think it's hilarious, right? And you're "Thanks for this, guys."
Water bottles coming up over the shoulders. Yeah.
Oh, it's like you've dragged your shoes behind your car for 30 miles by the time you get back.
Well, they do it with in the World Series. They do it on Fox. They interview the managers, right, once a game. And actually, I think it's before they even get to the World Series. But they do the interview, I believe, in between innings.
It's outstanding, don't you think?
It's great. And maybe that's the plan. Instead of it being live, you know, and I'm sure you guys are doing it during a break, but if you can find a spot in a game where it's a little bit, you know, early in a game, before, like, just as we're getting going, it's not out of hand, no one's going to be that pissed off with their team, and you just say, "Hey, quick catch up with the coach here. What are you thinking? How are you feeling? What's going on?" Like, baseball is so much more relaxed. Clearly, but you get a guy like when Cleveland was in the World Series and Terry Francona was doing it. It was unbelievable TV, like unbelievable.
He's talking about how his pitcher's attacking the hitters and his curveball's good. And in hockey, we can't, you know, we don't seem to get, you know, that type of openness.
Yeah.
I will tell you though, like, they do it between innings, so the guy's got a chance to decompress. We do it at the 10-minute mark of the first and second period, and when you walk over there and the score is 4-1 for the other guys, you're like, "What could you possibly ask?"
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, like, what are you guys eating?
What's happening?
What are you guys eating post game? What are you guys eating post game tonight?
So tough. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's got to be a way around that, but we'll solve it. We got time here. We got a couple months, I think, before they get rocking again. Anyway, good seeing you, buddy, on FaceTime. This has been a totally different venture for us.
Yeah, I can't believe that I actually got it right. I'm assuming it got it right because nobody's in my ear telling me I got it wrong. And I can't believe that you guys haven't heard the kids yet.
No, we've heard everything.
Is the dishwasher empty yet?
Yeah. What's going on?
Cammy's got lunch going right now. See, she's got lunch going right there. She's probably really happy with that. And there's Reese. He's going to get a haircut today. And holy smokes, this kid's got the longest hair I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, so, I'm chasing them down in Ontario, believe me. We're catching up. With barbers and salons aren't open here yet, so.
Well, we just got the open up.
Leave that alone, Johnny. That's for the last segment of the last show that I ever
did. Hey, you, that's in phase four. Leave that's that right. alone.
That's right. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Yeah, talk to you then, boys. Be well.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com. Yeah, I'll get back into my massage analogy once everyone's done eating dinner, about an hour and a half.